When should parents start seeking speech and language services if their child isn't meeting communication milestones? The Speech Sisters, otherwise known as Brooke and Bridget, join me today to provide a milestone refresher, their tips for educating families, and their popular online courses. Hey there, and welcome to the Speechy Side Up podcast. My name is Benita Litvak, and I am so grateful you're here. I'm an ASHA-certified speech-language pathologist, author, and augmentative and alternative communication consultant who is obsessed with helping SLPs like you stop reinventing the wheel and connect with other SLPs in the trenches. Have you ever wondered how other SLPs seem to be doing it all with ease? Well, around here, you'll get to hear firsthand how SLPs are really getting things done while keeping evidence-based practice and self-care in mind. Think of this as a coffee date with your SLP friends. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged while we learn together. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Speechy Side Up podcast. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. This podcast is produced every week for your enjoyment. You can also follow along on Instagram at Speechy Side Up. All links are in the show notes. Now let's get into the show. Today I'm joined by Brooke and Bridget, the Speech Sisters, who are also speech language pathologists and passionate about guiding parents with practical tips to integrate speech and language techniques into their everyday routines. Together, they have more than 20 years of combined experience and have even been featured on Good Morning America. Hey, Brooke and Bridget.
Hi.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for coming on. It's such an honor to have you both on today. And I wanted to kind of look at your background. How did you get into this area? So before we get started, let's paint a picture for our listeners. Can you tell us about who you are, what you do today, and how you both got here?
Sure. So we actually are sisters. We're best friends and we're moms. We have a combined total of 5 kids. And we are actually speech and language pathologists. We have been practicing, like you said, for over 20 years. And in 2012, we opened a private practice here in Southern California. And we specialize in working with early intervention clients who are late to talk. And we just so often were educating parents. So, you know, after years and years of going into clients' homes and parents saying, okay, you know, here, fix my child, we thought, okay, we need to get these parents involved because they actually, there's so much that they can be doing that they don't even realize. And so that was sort of how we came up with the idea of Speech Sisters. We thought, well, we can reach so many more people if we put this on Instagram and do some sort of an online platform. So about a little over a year ago, we created our Instagram account and we also developed 2 online courses. And in the courses and on Instagram, we share strategies and tricks and tips that parents can use really in their everyday routines to help their kiddos meet communication milestones.
That is amazing. You guys are such an inspiration. And I was telling Brooke before we started how you've just done such a phenomenal job of reaching parents and creating resources for them that otherwise were not there. There was a huge gap. You know, there's so many amazing speech and language resources, but I feel like it's very disseminated. And I love how you guys are bringing all of that valuable information together into courses. And we're going to talk a little bit more about your courses in a little bit. But before we do that, I'd like to hear what major speech and language development milestones in the birth to 3 population you would want to highlight, whether you're talking to parents or speech language pathologists.
Absolutely. So, you know, we actually have a communication milestone checklist that is a freebie that we give away on Instagram because this is just so important that parents and speech therapists are aware of what the milestones are. I think one thing that we always try to get across to parents is that a milestone is representing what most children within that age group are doing at that point. It's not, you know, I think there's a misconception many times that the milestone is actually average. So, we always just kind of relay that over to parents. So we have this milestone checklist, and because we share that with parents that most children should be doing it within this age group, they know, okay, well, if my child isn't doing these things, then I should reach out to my pediatrician, reach out to a speech language pathologist, and push them toward seeking out early intervention if they're not meeting those milestones. So we break it down into receptive language and expressive language. Of course, there's the social pragmatic language area. We kind of merge that into our receptive and expressive checklist. But, early on in that 3 to 6 month range, expressively, the number one thing, looking for cooing. Making sure your child is starting to use some cooing in their vocalizations, and also those smiles. So important, just that they're showing that they're interested in interacting and that they see you and hear you. And, in the 6 to 9 month range for expressive, just going into babbling. Gosh, it's so important. We have so many parents that reach out to us saying, my child's, 7 months or 8 months or 9 months, and they're not babbling yet. Is this a concern? And, as your child does get to 9 months, if they're not babbling, it may be concerning, and we want you to seek out a hearing assessment, make sure your child's hearing everything that they need to, all the speech sounds as they're developing. And then if we go over to the receptive language piece for those early ages, receptive language is their understanding of language. And early on, we just wanted them turning their head towards a noise that they're hearing in that 3 to 6 month range. And then 6 to 9 months, leading up to 12 months, looking toward familiar objects. So you might say, oh, where's the dog? I know that a dog can be a really special member of a family that, little ones look up to early on. So will your child look over in the direction of familiar objects when you name them? So those are some of the things early on that we look at. As a child moves from, 12 months, 18 months, 24 months, those are some of the more obvious milestones that, doctors often ask you, is your child at 18 months saying 10 words, or is your child at 24 months using 50 words? So obviously we go by those, and we always take into consideration AAP, American Academy of Pediatrics recommendations. But we, after 12 months, want to make sure that those babbles are moving into real words and that they're using a few words, and just that you see that trajectory going upwards and that there are no regressions in the expressive language piece. And then we just always like to, relay to parents that those milestones, right? So like I was saying before, using 10 words at 18 months, that's fantastic. But that is representing, again, what most children are able to do at a certain age. So we do want to see a range anywhere between 10 and 50 words at that point, or even more. So just showing that there is an expected range for these children. And, it just gets more advanced. Are they using gestures around, 9 to 12 months? Are they waving bye-bye? Are they clapping their hands? Are they following simple commands? Go get the ball. All of these things are so important. So we include all of these on our checklist, and we just think it's so important for parents to have this resource so that they know, at least have a frame to follow in their child's language development.
Yes, so important. And I think, whether SLPs are listening to this or parents are listening to this, it's a nice refresher for SLPs who maybe haven't worked in early intervention in a while. So I appreciate that. Now, your checklist, where can they get that exactly?
Yeah, so we have it as a link in our bio and Instagram. We'll have to give you the link to it, the actual, it's part of our website, but I'm not exactly sure what the exact link is. But it's in our bio.
Great. We can put that in the show notes so people can access it.
Perfect.
Because I think that's a really great resource that's going to help a lot of people. And one thing I wanted to clarify, so you were saying that for the milestones, most children are doing this, it's not the average. So if they're not doing it, that's where it should be concerned, right? Because it's not at like the 50% realm, it's higher than that.
That's right. They often say like, it's more indicative of what 90%, and you know, this is a ballpark. We've compiled so much research looking into milestone versus average, and it's kind of all over the map, and there's nothing like very clear cut about it. But I feel like what you can gather from all of the research is that a milestone is showing what approximately 90% of the population is able to do at that given age, whereas an average is showing, you know, what more of the 50% could do or halfway.
Got it. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that. Wow. Okay. So what are your tips for educating families on how they can help their children meet those communication milestones?
So we have lots of tips. This is kind of our jam. This is what we do. First of all, you know, getting the word out to parents about communication milestones and what they are and what they look like and when their child should be meeting these. That is so important, which is one of the reasons we created that checklist. And then just in terms of, you know, helping them meet the milestones, it's really breaking it down into certain strategies. I mean, we focus a lot on the expressive language milestones just because we work a lot with late talkers. And so just as an example of a couple strategies that we feel are so, so important, one of them would be waiting. So it seems so obvious, you know, wait and give your child a chance to maybe say something or talk, but this is so hard. As a parent, it's hard. As a therapist, it's hard. It is just really, really hard because you know the word that you want them to say. And if they don't give it, spit it right back at you, you're probably going to say it for them. But no, we coach parents to wait and give them time. And if, you know, we say, when you wait, you just might hear something. So, mm-hmm. And I think it's hard. I think it's hard for therapists to wait. Like, I know that I kind of get waiting guilt when I'm doing therapy because I'm telling parents, you know, we need to wait, but I'm watching like 25 seconds go by or so. And I'm like, oh gosh, are we spending too much time waiting? And it's such an important tool, but sometimes you're like, are they feeling like I'm doing anything? You know, the parent might feel that way.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say that so often parents have said to us, oh my gosh, I actually just waited and didn't answer the question for my little one. And she made a sound or she yes. tried to say the word. Right. So it is very, very effective. Another strategy that we love to tell and teach parents about is repeating. I mean, again, this like seems so obvious, just like, but it's not obvious to a lot of parents, but repetition. I mean, a child has to hear a word a lot of times before they can remember it and try to say it. So repetition, repetition, repetition. This is another big one.
Yeah. And I mean, another obvious one, I think that we tell parents and parents are like, of course I talk to my kid is talking to your child. But I think it's more the way that parents talk to their child that they don't know specifically the best ways to talk with their little one. So we always coach parents who have babies, you know, anywhere between newborn and 12 months to use parent ease. So you want to use that, you know, or mother ease, infant directed speech, because it grabs your baby's attention and it keeps them interested in what you're saying for longer, which leads to more language learning opportunities. And then also, you know, talking with your little one, keeping it short and sweet, you know, not saying, okay, we got to hurry up because we got to go get in the car because we're going to be late to grandma. Like that goes whoop, right over their head, but saying, okay, let's put your shoes on. Let's put your shoe on your foot as you're doing it. Goes, you know, much further with them.
Yeah.
I love those tips. So just to summarize, wait, provide repetition, use that mother ease and that short and sweet talk. Did I miss anything?
Yeah, no, I think you got it all. And we have so many more strategies and tips that we share too in our courses and on Instagram. But yeah, those are three big ones.
I think the other one was showing things as you, like displaying them as you're talking about them. So, you know, with my clients or my own children, if I'm talking about a banana, like I go and get the banana and I'll tell Stella, look, a banana. I'm peeling the banana. And as I'm peeling the banana, I'm saying the word peel and I'm doing it at the same time. And it brings it to life for them and it just kind of makes it click.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I love those suggestions. And I can't wait to hear more about your courses. But before we get there, let's talk about how, as SLPs, you coach parents of children who are late talkers.
Yeah. So, I mean, we always try to get parents involved. It's just so important that they're involved because they're with their child all the time. And I think like Brooke was saying before, just letting them know you don't need to sit down and like do speech therapy with your child. It's not practical. As parents, it's hard to find time to do that, especially if you have multiple children. But it's a matter of incorporating speech techniques or building your child's language during routines that you're already doing with your child.
Yeah, so you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to carve out extra time. I have three children. There was if one of my middle son actually had some speech delays, and it was nearly impossible for me to carve out time to like sit there and do therapy with him. So what was a better approach was to incorporate all the strategies that I knew would be effective into what we were already doing. So every time we got into the car, it was, you know, open the door, let's go in, shut the door, you know, and I did that every single time we went in and out of the car, the same
thing. Right. So, and I think it just becomes like the new normal for them. Like it just becomes the way that you communicate with your child. You start incorporating all of these strategies. At first, it can feel a bit overwhelming. Like, you know, we have in one of our courses, we have an acronym called the iTalk technique. And so it's combining like five strategies all at the same time. And then the other one, we have like nine strategies. But it becomes the new normal and it just becomes natural. And it's so effective. So we just tell parents, you know, don't overthink it, but, you know, getting on your child's level and, you know, using the strategies that we, you know, talk about in our Instagram or in our courses, they're all evidence-based and they work.
Yeah, I love that. Great suggestions. So let's talk about your courses now, the Late Talker and Talk on Track. Why did you create them? Although I have some guesses and, you know, who exactly are they for? Are they just for parents? Tell us more.
So we first created the Late Talker because as speech and language pathologists and, you know, business owners and running our own private practice, we really started specializing in that population. And we, like I had said before, just wanted to reach more people. As time went on and our therapy evolved, we started incorporating parents into therapy much more, and we found it to be so effective. And we just thought, gosh, we could really tell this and preach this to so many families everywhere if we, you know, have a different platform. So that is how we started with the Late Talker.
Yeah, and I think too, Brooke, like we were getting so many referrals from pediatricians in our private practice. And a lot of these kids would come over to us around like 24 months or so, give or take. And a lot of times the parents would be like, or these kids would be super delayed in their expressive language. And parents would be like, well, yeah, we went in at 15 months or 18 months. And the doctor was like, well, let's just wait and see their understanding. Like, let's just give it a few months. And we just heard this over and over and over again. And we were like, okay, we're okay with waiting and seeing sometimes. Like sometimes you definitely need to get the ball rolling if the child's not meeting milestones, if they're showing deficits or in receptive and expressive, if they're showing any red flags, of course. But kids that are like typically developing in their receptive language, but maybe struggling expressively, maybe wait and see is okay. But these parents go home and they have no resources.
they do not know what to do. They're literally just going on with life as they did with no tools, and they're just waiting and seeing. But we were like, what if they knew like all of these tools and strategies to incorporate? Then when they go back for their 24-month appointment, what would the difference be? So really, like, I would say that was another,
reason. For sure. That was a big one. And then, you know, it works and it's not really rocket science. It is not obvious to a lot of parents, but once they start the course and work through it, they are just like, I can't believe I didn't think of this. And it's actually so simple. And like we said before, you know, we really try and get parents to just work these strategies into their everyday routines. The course, the Late Talker, is for toddlers 15 to 36 months. So that's really the age range that we geared it for. And I say it's for toddlers, it's for parents of toddlers that age. So the parent is actually working through the course, and then they are learning strategies to then use with their child.
Right. And I think it's also important to add that, you know, it's not only like those kids that are late talkers who aren't getting therapy, but we wanted to also have this resource for parents who have children in early intervention therapy. You know, they're getting therapy twice a week, but parents still need to know what to do when the therapist isn't there. So just kind of being a resource for parents to lean on as your child is also going through early intervention. So yeah, so we in the Late Talker, we developed an evidence-based strategy. It's an acronym called We Can Talk, and each letter in the We Can Talk strategy stands for a different tip that parents will try to use with their child during everyday routines.
I love that. That's amazing. So do you find that, like, initially you said that you were getting referrals maybe around like the 24 months just because of the pediatricians providing those referrals. Do you find that now with the course that you're able to reach parents of younger age children? And if, do you know what that average might be? I'm just curious, like, how parents are knowledgeable to know to seek out this resource. Because if their pediatrician is telling them that 24 months is okay, you know, sometimes they trust their pediatrician, but it sounds like maybe they are doing a little bit more due diligence in finding these resources and then finding your course.
I mean, I think it's all over the map. I think there's like some parents who are just kind of trusting the pediatrician and waiting. I think there's a bit of a movement going on. Like last week, we posted a lot about pediatricians saying wait and see. And so many parents DM'd us on Instagram. It was overwhelming, but wow, was it amazing. I mean, saying we were told to wait and see, but we bought your course and like our child had two words and like they're at 50 now a month later. And gosh, it's just so overwhelming. But you know, there are parents that I think have even younger children, you know, early, that maybe newborn to 12 months old, who are on our platform or on other platforms like ours, who are starting to become educated in the communication milestones and want their children to meet those milestones in a timely manner. And I guess that's how we created our second course, which is actually for the younger population, newborn to 14-month-old, called Talk on Track.
Oh, wow. Okay. Do you want to talk about that one a little bit more?
Sure.
So Talk on Track, like Bridget said, you know, is for that younger population. And it is similar to the Late Talker. We developed an acronym. It's our iTalk technique, and each letter stands for a strategy. And these strategies are really geared toward helping parents help their babies meet speech and language milestones. And we did this because we thought, maybe if we start this earlier, like when, you know, starting it, we say newborn. I mean, of course you want to get the feeding down and the sleep and all that first, but you know, within the first couple of months of life, if parents know how they should be talking to their child and sort of, you know, what they should be doing, then maybe they won't get to the point of being a late talker. We can't control this in every case, obviously, but in some instances you can. And just having those tools, I mean, if I had a dollar for every time a parent said to me, God, I wish someone would have just told me this. I wish someone told me to, you know, sing a song every time I changed her diaper. Maybe that would have helped. And, you know, it's these little tweaks or these little changes that parents can make and how they interact with their babies that can really help to develop their language.
Yeah. And I think like we made a nice little visual in both of our courses in Talk on Track, we call it the noisy steps. And it's really just showing expressive language milestones for that birth to like 14 month population and how they should move up from cooing to babbling to those first words and also gestures. And then for the late talker course, we move them into what we call the language ladder. And this teaches parents how to expand your child's language. So build that vocabulary and then move them from the gestures to the one word utterance, to two word utterances, to three word utterances, into sentences and conversation. So it gives them that visual. I think as speech therapists, we know this, but for parents to see it as like a little staircase or a little ladder, they're like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
It's really eye-opening for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, it's so intuitive for us because we're speech language pathologists, but just thinking about my husband and, you know, we're expecting, yay.
So exciting. I mean,
there's so many things that he is just not aware of where like I'll either have to teach him and then I'm thinking, well, what resources are there? And now it's like, oh, your course is available. But
yeah,
you guys know of any good books that have ever been recommended? Because I'm just thinking about like what to expect when you're expecting and then what to expect after, you know, you have your child. But I don't know of any good like books that address this area like you guys have done in your courses. So maybe you need to write a book.
Right. I mean, I feel like we essentially have. We just turned our course into book form. That's a very good point. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, I don't think this, you know, there's not really another resource like this. This is just easy and at parents' fingertips. And I think the beauty of this is that unfortunately, in today's day and age, it's a digital world. We're all on our phones. We want answers at our fingertips. And, you know, something had to be created for what is going on today with the parents of today and how they want to seek information. So it just works.
Exactly. And in our courses, we also have videos. We have video tutorials in our late talker course and in our Talk on Track course. We have videos that go along with every single strategy so that a parent can see how it is done, which is so helpful.
And yeah, and we actually show like in the late talker videos of parents, like, don't do this. Do this.
Right.
Don't do this. Do this. So that's very helpful too.
That's great. Well, kudos to you guys for reaching parents in this way. And, you know, your marketing is so great too, because, and you know, there's information out there, but it's just, like I said, so disseminated. So I'm so glad that you guys have been able to bring it together and in a very marketable, parent-friendly, user-friendly format. So great job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, before we wrap up today, was there anything else that you guys wanted to talk about before we get into our little getting to know you questions?
I don't know. I think we covered everything.
We did. The most important things anyway.
Well, you know, I think the other thing is like on our website, we covered like parent ed today, but there are so many questions that come at us like, should I speak to my baby in two languages? What are some fun words that I can use with my baby? What are easy first words? And, you know, there's
so
many
questions. How do I read to my baby? My baby will read with me, you know.
And we have a lot of blogs on our website. So that's another good place to go and check out some of our resources there as well for speech therapists.
We tend to write blogs based on the questions that parents ask us and find that, you know, the more questions that come in on a topic, we just know that the more
parents have those questions. And so we create these blogs to give them those answers.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Do you guys have a Facebook group for people that do your course?
Not yet. We don't have enough hands on deck. I don't think, I mean, we're still running our private practice and now this company's getting bigger. It's amazing and we're so grateful and thankful, but having the kids and this pandemic and
now we're homeschooling. Yeah. So, you know,
someday we will. It's in the plans for the future, yes. But not yet.
Yeah. No pressure. I just think it would be such a great resource. Sometimes those Facebook groups run themselves and I could see this particular area, topic, community really running itself, you know, the parents being able to connect with each other and find like, oh, you know, your child spoke later too. And like these resources helped, but you know, maybe only being admitted if they took your course or something, but something.
Right. Agree. Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
What's going on right now, but I think that could be really helpful.
Yeah. I agree.
Awesome. All right. So let's get into our little getting to know you. Do you guys have any good stories or therapy fails that you want to share?
I have one. I was telling Brooke earlier, I'm like, what's yours? And I go, well, I think I have one. Mm-hmm. I will never forget. I wish you guys could like see me on camera as I'm telling this story, but I had this little girl I used to work with when I worked in the schools like 10 years ago. And she was just my favorite. And she was on the autism spectrum and we were talking one day and she just, I think we were doing some artic stuff or I was working very closely to her and enunciating my speech. And she leans in and she goes, Miss Bridget, why? And I had crooked bottom teeth at the time. I've since had Invisalign, but she looked at me and goes, Miss Bridget, why do your bottom teeth look like this? And she like contorted her body in this really weird way. And I thought, I just started laughing. I was like, that is too funny. And I'm a speech therapist, so I should probably fix my bottom teeth. So I've since gotten Invisalign. Thank you, little one from that school.
That's so good. That's so good. And I have a good one. So in working in, you know, I've been doing early intervention for forever. So I'm always in homes with the little ones. And I was in this home and my bag broke, my toy bag. I think the one of the handles fell off or the straps or something and some of the toys spilled. And I just said, oh shoot. And the little boy who barely said any words repeated me, oh shoot, oh shoot. And so that was the word he picked up for the day and I had to tell his mom. But I'm actually so happy that it was shoot, not something worse. So.
Right. I love it. That's great.
That's classic.
Yeah.
I love it. Those are so great. Bridget, I have a similar story to yours. I had a little girl who was also on the autism spectrum and she told me she asked why my eyebrows were so uneven. And I'm like, they are. So, yeah, from the mouth of babes.
Oh my gosh.
See the darnest things.
Yes.
So let's talk about three things that you both cannot work without.
So we were talking about this and I think we agree that they're probably the three same things.
Yeah.
Number one, coffee. I mean, we cannot start our day without having coffee, like 5 cups probably.
Yeah.
computer, obviously. And phone.
Phone. Is Instagram.
Right. It's computer/phone/Canva, I guess, which is a website that we make our Instagram pages on. And the Informed SLP, which is, they are an amazing resource for speech language pathologists. They look at many different research articles and post them on their Instagram and on their website. And as a speech language pathologist, you can have a membership to their account and you have all the research and evidence at your fingertips.
And they really consolidate the research articles and make them very reader friendly. And it's just the best.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll oftentimes like find something on there that speaks to us or speaks to our, you know,
speaks to our followers, and we're able to like look at that, and then we'll know just from the way that they like summarize the article, yes, okay, this one's worth diving into. Whereas like, you know, as a speech therapist, like sometimes you start reading an article and you're like, wait a minute, I don't even think this is what I need, you know? So that's very helpful. Informed SLP.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. That's a really great resource. And then what do you guys enjoy doing outside of work?
Well, in our previous life, in our normal life, working out, yoga, we both love yoga, mm-hmm. working out. We love the beach, which has just been granted back to us for exercising and, you know, water sports and stuff like that. So it was great to get back there this past weekend with the kids.
Yes.
What else, Bridge?
I mean, traveling, if we can ever do that again, you know. Gosh, I mean, it's pretty incredible, because I was thinking like, what do I like to do? And everything I thought of, I was like, can't do that right now. Can't do that. You know, it's so sad. And I think once we are able to do these things again, we'll really have a newfound appreciation for all of the things that we enjoy.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I completely agree with you. It's like in my journal now, it has to be beach, traveling, like that. There's no room for like changing that. I just need to like say I'm appreciative of that every single day from now on.
Yes. Same.
What are your favorite areas of speech language pathology? I would have to say that my top are AAC and literacy, but fluency has always held a special place in my heart too. That's because my dad had a developmental stutter that was treated briefly by an SLP, and he used to tell me how much he liked his therapist. So I've always kind of gravitated towards that population when I was working in private practice. Eventually he became more fluent, but we know that some people continue to stutter throughout adulthood too. That's why it's really important to learn from people who stutter about their experiences and how stuttering affects their identity. We'll be exploring this in an upcoming podcast series dedicated just to fluency. This series kicks off with a pod course on making the experience of stuttering more joyful. And our guest speaker is Dr. Christopher Constantino, a professor at Florida State University. His episode is even available for ASHA CEUs through TASL Continuing Education, and members get early VIP access starting December 1st, 2020. That means you do not have to wait until this episode airs on the podcast. Dr. Constantino is a person who stutters, and one point that he made during our interview that really stuck out to me is that our society doesn't tolerate differences very well, which we all know is very true. So as a field, we've been trying to do our best to alleviate that difference, but he said, what about when that difference is part of that person? We really need to be honest whether we can even alleviate it or even should alleviate it. So then you're probably thinking, what do I target in stuttering therapy then? Well, you can learn about the specific goals that you can write and more in this pod course. Head to tasseltogether.com or click on the link in this episode description. Then check out the courses tab to find a course titled Beyond Words, Making the Experience of Stuttering More Joyful to learn more.
Awesome. So let's leave with one piece of advice you would tell your younger selves.
So I think I would say you are capable of making a difference in so many people's lives. Let all of your self-doubt go.
Thanks. And I would say you can be a big deal if you work hard at it. Like, you know, we opened up our business, whatever it was, 8 years ago. And it was one of those things where after grad school, I worked in the schools and I thought, oh, it'd be really cool to own a private practice, but I don't know if I could ever do that. And then we did that. Bridget and I are like, well, let's try it. Okay. You know, and now here we are. And I just think, If I could go back and tell myself, have confidence and just believe in yourself, and you can be a big deal if that's what you want to be.
Right. If you believe it and you put your mind at it, then you can achieve it.
Yeah.
So true. I love when you guys were able to go on Good Morning America, and one of the things you wrote is like, I guess vision boards do work. And I was like, yes.
Yes.
So funny. I would say, I mean, gosh, when was that, Brooke? It must have been like October. I mean, it was not that long ago. And I think I listened to like a Rachel Hollis book girl wash your face or something. And I was like, we need to make vision boards. Rachel Hollis said, and Brooke's like, okay, I'll do it. And one of the things we put on our vision board was Good Morning America, like a picture that said GMA. And 3 months later we were on GMA. I was like, see, the vision boards worked. So to everyone out there, go make your vision boards.
Yes, that's good.
Do it. Yeah. This was the first year I put get pregnant, and we've been trying to get pregnant for several years. And what do you know? It worked.
Yay! Oh, that's so awesome. If you believe it, it can happen.
So true. So before we go, where can everybody find and connect with you guys?
So definitely, Instagram at Speech Sisters and or our website, speechsisters.com.
Yeah. Great. Thank you both so much for coming on today. This has been such a treat.
Thank you for having us. This is great.
Awesome. Well, until next time.
Thank you so much for listening. By the way, have you joined the SSU crew yet? By joining, you get access to the free goods section on our website, plus podcast updates, special event notifications, and therapy inspiration. You can sign up at bit.ly/joinSSUcrew, all lowercase, or just find the link in this episode description. Also, don't forget to take a screenshot of this episode so that you can always refer back to it and share it on social media if you really love the topic. Take care and remember to always fill your speechy side cup first before you can pour into others.